Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Welcome in this place, ladies and gentlemen. It's the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus Speller. Jimmy's here.
Hello.
Lukey's here.
All right.
And Petey's here.
Yes, I am.
Donaldson, of course. Not forgetting me, Mr. Speller. And that's how I want to be called for the rest of the show.
Let's go to work, as they said in Reservoir Dogs.
As Roy Hodgson said.
Yes. My goodness, didn't he just?
Mm.
It's been so incredible. It's the skies of England have changed colour.
Yeah. Can I also say that when that result came in, I think I'm right in saying I've slept since then, so my memory may be hazy. Got a WhatsApp from Marcus saying, Roy the boy's back in business.
Oh. You know, my favourite thing about it was the return of the Hodgson shuffle. It's something we haven't really acknowledged.
Every day
much,
he's shuffling.
Every day he's shuffling, indeed. With every win he's shuffling as well at the moment. It's, you know, the greatest photo in the history of football, which is him and Sammy Lee. It's like the sort of negative version of it, where he sort of he looks almost like that Cyril Sneer from the Raccoons.
Yes.
It's like the positive version of that. I just love seeing him animated and up, and it's good. And he's beat the hoodoo. He's a better manager than Frank de Boer.
Agreed. He did a good fist pump.
He did. What I love about Hodgson is when he celebrates a goal, he really means it.
Yeah.
And it's almost like there's some. It brings out an anger and aggression that you don't often see or associate with Roy Hodgson.
It's like the theme from Dan Busters has just popped into his head.
It's sort of aggressive pride, isn't it?
He's been managing for 41 years and he still celebrates a goal like that.
You would against Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think I've said it before, but my favourite thing about Roy Hodgson is he speaks about seven languages, probably not seven, probably about four or five languages.
Yeah. He does,
but he speaks them all like Roy Hodgson. there's no mistaking who's speaking there.
When you speak Japanese, Pete, is your accent good?
It's bang on, mate.
Yeah.
Bang on. Yeah.
Can you speak Japanese?
Beer, please. It's that man again who wants a beer.
Can you speak Japanese in Roy Hodgson's accent? I'd like to hear that.
Does it a lot of W's? I don't really know. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't speak Japanese.
An Irish chap I met in South America many moons ago would speak Spanish with quite a strong Irish accent.
How does that sound like?
Me gusta con papas fritas, he would say. Con papas fritas, he obviously meant, you know. And there was a Northern Irish chap who would be like, me gusta.
Yeah.
Me gusta. Well, I like.
Konnichiwa.
Isn't it patatas fritas? It's papa's his dad. Papa is dad.
Daddy chips.
Oh, sorry, yeah, you're
daddy,
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Daddy chips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, they were daddy chips.
something for daddy. Daddy wants his chips. Daddy or chips?
Yeah.
Patatas.
It does sound like the name of one of your mates from your misspent youth.
Daddy chips.
Going around Bolivia with daddy chips.
did we see Roy give Conte a little tap on the cheek saying I'm the daddy now? Or
I'm the daddy chips now.
I can't remember what...
Looking at the table, I don't think he probably would have.
I'd love to see the embrace between the managers after a game. A lot of them are a fan of the old sort of cuff around the cheek, well done type thing. Pochettino does that a lot. Mm. I can't remember what Hodgson and Conte did together. Mark Hughes would have taken an interest.
Hughes and Guardiola definitely had a handshake.
Yeah.
Guardiola went, "Here's your handshake and we'll royally mug you off."
Well, that was brilliant, wasn't it? Because it was... The Mark Hughes handshake is regularly televised in a way that other managers' conduct isn't. And we all know why that is.
Here it comes.
The US sports networks have bought the rights.
Yeah.
Like they did the World Cup. Why have we bought this?
But did you think, going back to the Palace game, I don't know if you guys felt this way, but I was watching it on Soccer Saturday and Jeff Stelling did his business. And,
Not on camera.
He loves to build it up.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, it's Crystal Palace who scored. I was like, oh, brilliant. Oh, it was an own goal.
Yeah, I know. No, but luckily Zaha got the one. But yeah. But their first league goals of the season, for crying out loud.
It was a scrappy opener, wasn't it, really? It
came off as Pellegrini's backside.
Yeah, but that is the classic cliche, isn't it? You just need one off the backside. You just need any get yourself going.
Bit of confidence,
They looked so much better.
They did. I think it's, obviously we were talking when Roy Hodgson first was appointed about how what he does is he gets the teams doing the simple things and then it starts to pay off, and it was a perfect example of that, wasn't it? I'm wondering if they look at Zaha and Townsend as just their strikers now.
Yes,
they look so much better than they did with Benteke.
Hodgson loves Townsend.
Yeah,
when Hodgson was appointed, Townsend was going, here we go.
He gave Townsend about 400 England caps.
He repaid him at times.
And I thought with the goal coming off the backside and stuff, you're right. They just needed anything that could have happened for them to get up and running, and it did give them confidence. To be fair, they did play with confidence after.
You hear the roar of the stadium. You think, oh yeah, that's a good sound again.
That's a good place to watch football. That is,
it is. Right? Yeah,
it's a good atmosphere.
You're absolutely right.
Goal
music.
Did they play goal music?
Ooh. Palace, they do, don't they?
I retract my previous statement. They play goal music.
They play the famous Jocko
Glad All Over.
Song, Glad All Over, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they play it with the goals.
I think they do with it.
Ooh, I'm not. It's definitely. I think.
I heard it a lot at that Newcastle match when we lost 5-1. I seem to remember.
were you in some sort of stupor though? It could have been that.
They play it at full time, Pete. Definitely.
Was that in your headphones though, Pete?
I'm sure they play it after a goal. I might be wrong.
Not sure. Get in touch, Palace fans. Let us know. Yeah, Zaha back in the side made a huge difference. He said he was absolutely knackered at the end of the game. You need to be though. Games like that, Jimmy, you could put it in.
Well, on the Hodgson thing, just to pick up on something Jim said earlier, we talked a little bit about it before, but just as a reminder, I've heard ex-players who've played under Hodgson say, first couple of weeks, you're a bit like, God, this is a slog. I don't know if I can do this every day in training.
Right.
But slowly but surely, the results start to pick up. And after a while, everyone loves it. Everyone's buying into it. This is the formula. This is what we do.
Why do they not kind of enjoy the training?
Well, because apparently it's very formulaic. It's very shape based. It's very monotonous. Just and I think Roy Hodgson's thing is to essentially impart into the players. If you do this automatically every single time, you'll do it without thinking about it on the football pitch, and it'll give us a better chance of being successful. Conte does it a bit as well, I think. There was talk of the players getting a little bit upset with Conte when he first took over at Chelsea, because he was literally stopping training sessions, going onto the training field and moving a player 3 inches to the left.
I'm sure
we'll come on to Rafa over the weekend, but he is.
You hope we will.
He's not in the running order,
but we got a point.
He's in Pete's running order.
But what I would say is that,
that's
exactly what a lot of the players say about Rafa's things. He says he will stop training and sort of talk about like the body shape of a defender or something. Just marginal. It is a marginal gain, sort of thing.
I think so.
And it is quite born, but when you start to see things happen on the field and things change, you sort of go, wow, Newcastle look like they can defend.
But it is, though, because it's the defending. A turn of a body can make all the difference. If you're defending on the front foot or the back foot, I think Philip Mexès, the wonderful, reckless Frenchman, who I forget where he's playing now, if indeed at all. But he was certainly a centre-back for AC Milan for a bit. And he said to try and adapt his style, he was so used to defending on the half turn because you were always wary of like a ball coming over the top or something like that. Whereas on Milan at the time, it was, no, you defend on the front foot. We're pushing, we're trying to sort of press a little bit, you know. But Italian managers, it's all about, you know, work on shape so much during the week.
One of the things about difference between playing defensively and playing as a defender and playing as a midfielder is when you're used to playing as a defender at any level, when you move into the midfield and try and play in midfield, the game becomes 360 degrees. It's a lot different. Very difficult to work out what's going on. So at the back, when you're used to having essentially 180 degrees, everything in front of you, it's a big change. And so for Mexès, probably because he's a bit more of a ball playing footballer, he can play on the half turn and he's comfortable on the ball. A lot of defenders aren't actually like that.
Playing on the, you're right, Pete, with Rafa, but it's just changing the sort of slight angle of a player can make a difference. But Hodgson, it's all about shape, all about do your jobs very, very simply. And he said to Zaha and Townsend, as the only two forward players because of a lack of fit strikers, and Ladapo's obviously not made the cut at the moment, he said to the two players, when one of you's got the ball, the other one, just get in the box. Simple instructions.
They also had like a reasonable amount of possession as well.
They did.
It wasn't a smash and grab.
Well, Hodgson very much took the game to Chelsea, didn't they? Which is, you know, I think it's a significant wobble from them as well. It wasn't a great performance.
I mean, they had injuries, but even so, though, I mean, against that Palace side, you would think, I mean, obviously a lot better performance, but they missed Morata. I mean, much was made of Batshuayi. And the contrasting performances of him and obviously Chelsea loanee Tammy Abraham scoring a couple.
The fear for Batshuayi's point of view will be that he may well become a scapegoat again for Chelsea's lack of success in a particular game, because Conte's not convinced by him, so that's probably going to set him back a bit, because he didn't play very well and he didn't really look like scoring.
He just didn't look like he had enough presence for that game, did he? Just sort of just not leading the line aggressively enough
against Sacco and Dan, who are quite tough.
He's 24 as well, Batshuayi. He's got a reputation as a sort of up and coming young player, but you know, 24 years old, you're not that anymore.
Yeah, that's very true. They did miss Morata though, didn't they? Hugely missed him.
Any team would miss him though, wouldn't they?
And Conte too, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, teams get injuries. They've still got enough to beat Palace.
But
Hodgson's Palace, it's a different beast, everybody.
It's a different ball game.
Indeed.
It's actually the same ball game.
But what a win. Yeah. You see, when Palace had that run of fixtures, you thought, well, nil pois.
I'm sure it makes it all worth it.
Indeed. I love it. I absolutely love
a bit of Hodgson. I love...
It's all forgiven.
but they've got a bit of an easier run now compared to the last three games. So you wonder if they'll properly get up and running now. You wouldn't bet against it.
Yeah, they don't have to play Manchester City for a little while.
That's a result.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Let's move on to them. They are bloody superb.
We were saying on the way here, it's very rare that, you know, a team that aren't your own team get you like really frothing from the country you're from. But they're just magnificent to watch at the moment.
People are calling them like animated GIF kind of goals and stuff. The passes that are injured passing, but the passes, the stage of play takes so long. The file size on the animated GIFs. We're reaching 15 megabyte files, guys.
That's a real victim.
That's the real victim.
That's the real victim.
game's gone.
Game's gone.
There's a kind of insight that only Pete can give you, ladies and gentlemen, around this table.
Are Burnley looking forward to their trip there next week?
Do you know what, actually? Old Dyche, he'll fancy a point there.
Mm. I think he'll fancy some sort of apocalyptic scenario where the game doesn't have to be fulfilled.
I'd say that'll be Man City's biggest test of the season thus far. And I know they've played Chelsea away.
I reckon Dyche will be happy if all that Saharan sand just lands on the pitch and in his throat.
Yeah, we'll just gargle it like it's nothing.
Is it normal for me?
His throat will actually be improved by it.
I live for this.
Yeah. I use sand as lozenges anyway.
It's me who's been sucking this here. That's my mum.
Yeah. But City, seriously though, City were absolutely incredible. They're incredibly good. And, and though Stoke brought it back to 3-2, and you thought, well,
I thought
that's going to anger them.
Hughes had a lovely bit of self awareness actually in the post match interview.
Did he say, "I set the foundations for this team"?
He said, "Well, we got off to a good start. The handshake was firm." And then he said, "We got it back to 3-2. And I think he went to sort of say, "You know, we could have got, but it probably flattered us, and they were just fine. Well,
they got it to 3-2, and it was like Hughes made some sort of indication that it just woke City up, and that's how they respond to a little bit of a setback. They just batter four goals past you. My favourite, as I'm sure everybody's was the second goal, because that there's so many passes in that move, but it started off in their own box, didn't it?
But it started off with a pretty risky back heel, if I remember right.
What I love about that is if that was, that's the sort of thing where in Sunday League, if a defender starts doing something like that, the manager will have about nine separate hernias at once.
Sacco did it. Yeah. It nearly cost them two points.
What I would say is at the start of the move, the back heel, and actually the finish, two of the riskiest parts of that particular manoeuvre, I thought.
Yeah. That is essentially the perfect goal.
Yeah. Was it better than Burnley's 24-pass move against Everton?
That was a great goal.
It was a great goal, but at times you thought they might lose the ball.
But the way I can't properly remember all the details about the Burnley goal because it was a while ago now, but with that Man City goal Jim's particularly talking about, for me, it's fascinating to see how big they open the pitch up when they've got the ball. When the other team have got the ball, they try and condense it. It's classic Cruyffian stuff, right? But they try and condense it as much as they can. But when they've got the ball, all of a sudden they've got such confidence in each other's touch and passing range, they just open it. They make the pitch feel like it's about five times bigger than it actually is, and make these passes and they just carve teams to pieces.
And a great sort of example of exactly that is it was Sterling that scored the second goal, but Gabriel Jesus was open as well. Like, he got a spare goal
scorer. They were queuing up.
You're absolutely right. When they start playing like that, we saw it with Guardiola's Barcelona, it looks like they've got two extra men on the field. And they've got width, but they're also, they've got a lot of bodies in the centre. You just sort of think, well, where are they lacking? You know, Stoke are not going to be one of their better opponents this season, no disrespect to Stoke, but there will be a way to get at them. Every team, they'll always have a slight weak spot here or there, but this City side, they're unbelievable. 29 goals in 8 matches, only conceding 4.
It's the hammerings, isn't it? You know, we've seen good sides before, but it's 5, 6 and 7 already.
Do you think that what's happening now is that the team are starting to properly take on board Guardiola's idea?
They're there. They're absolutely there.
And that's the difference between this season and last season.
Completely. I think Guardiola was probably a little bit surprised that it's maybe taken this long, but you see him, he's not prickly in post-match press conferences and whatnot. You know, he spoke of everybody being involved with the goals, which is quite nice because they've got goals everywhere in that side. And Guardiola is not about just one player teams, even though he accuses others of doing that, i.e. Tottenham Hotspur, which was a bit naughty. But he was purring, wasn't he? And he said that it's the best performance since his arrival.
Did you hear what Pochettino said in response to that? He said it was a bit disrespectful. I never referred to his Barcelona as that messy team.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
By the way,
which is a lovely little dig back.
Man City at the weekend, 3 of the back 4 English.
I saw that. I thought, come on.
It's been fat 3 of the back 4 from Yorkshire, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Aren't Yorkshire going for independence? Is that all right?
Not Yexit.
It's very in vogue at the moment, that kind of
thing. But that is encouraging, though, isn't it? Because Stones.
Well, Yorkshire going for independence?
No. I've got no opinion on that.
Do you want a quick email about that subject?
Yes.
Well, basically, there was.
What? Yorkshire independence?
James Stevens.
Okay.
He's given us a. Well, regarding the Catalan independence, of course, he says, could we have a similar thing in Cornwall? So he's compiled like a top 10. Like a first 11, basically.
But they haven't got any professional clubs, have they?
Well, Christian Walton, Jack Stevens, Craig Alcock at Truro, Wayne Kit Quinn, obviously born in Truro as well, Ryan Dixon, Matthew Everton at Etherington, Max Smalcolm, Jamie Lowry, Scott Bennett, Isaac Vassell, and Dan Smith.
That's a terrible team.
which they're welcome to.
Nigel Martin was still getting there. He's calling.
Yeah, so
it's not quite that level, is it?
He says, haters will say it doesn't strike as much fear in the heart as Bellerin, Piqué, Fabregas, but I reckon Gibraltar are probably quaking in their boots. Yeah, right,
they could get a draw, yeah, get a draw, so, against
Gibraltar.
They'll
never be in the same group.
Thank you for that, James
Stevens. They'll be in the same pot.
But seriously, though, this Stones have been proving hugely under Guardiola. He seems to be playing every game now. Yep. Delph is, you know, making a new position for himself, and he contributed an assist as well at the weekend. And Walker, we all know Walker's a great player. You know, it's encouraging that the base, the platform of that team. I think it's got three lions on its chest.
It's nothing to do with Kevin De Bruyne.
Three brave lions in that back line.
Three lions at the back.
are we relying on Pep Guardiola to save us?
Well, we're relying on him and Pochettino. Didn't Pochettino, something like 17 of the last sort of 21 England debutants have played under him or something?
That's right. Here's a little question for you. Is Kevin De Bruyne getting a bit big for his boots? Does he need a bit of time on the bench?
Honestly, he just looks like he's playing in a tuxedo at the moment.
Pure
class, isn't it?
He's blooming unbelievable.
He looks like he's playing with a book in the left hand.
Glass of cognac?
No, an apple in the right hand.
Okay.
He's just stroking the ball around.
Again,
has been dead for centuries.
I'll say it again. It's because I chucked him out of my fantasy football.
Is that right?
And that's how, you know, that's how.
Why'd you take him out?
He just wasn't performing. The first couple of games, I thought, are we going to have another season like last season? Clearly not.
Did you give him a bell? Are we going to have another season like last season?
Pull your socks up, Kevin.
Who do you replace him with?
Say again. I don't actually know. Probably Sissoko or something.
did you replace him with Jordan? Did you?
This is a question more for our listeners. But did Hesse get on the score sheet in that game?
he set one up, did he not?
He did set one up.
It was quite a nice assist.
It was, yeah.
You know, oh, come on, away at Man City.
I know.
You'll take any victory, though, won't
you? But that was an amazing. It was a performance of the weekend. Probably the performance of the season.
And Leroy Sané as well. Oh. How good is it? He gives them so much from that wide position. Strong, direct, clever. Knows where the goal is very much so. When you have a player who functions so well in that team, but yet also has individual brilliance. Well, I mean, as you say that about so many of them. Absolutely glorious. And Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, well, Sané's 21, Jesus is 20 as well. It's like that's being sort of overlooked. I wonder if actually City's status as like a sort of new big club helps the pressure, like, you know, come off those players a little bit, because, you know, both arrived for big money, but they've just been sort of allowed to settle. I mean, it's helped that they've been absolutely phenomenal straight away.
Well, City certainly didn't need to rush Aguero back and put him on.
No,
the
well, quite.
No.
And Gundogan coming back is just this, like, just a cherry on top, isn't it? They don't really need it.
Bernardo Silva getting a goal as well.
I know, yeah.
It's a nice point for City as well, because, the new owners have been there for a relatively, you know, a little bit of time now. And you've got players like Silva and players like Touré coming off the bench as well that are sort of bridging that first generation of when they first started winning stuff into the Guardiola era that they effectively wanted the whole time.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, you know, it's a vintage team in the making.
Well, this could be, yeah, Guardiola going on what he's done previously, he'll want to be there for another sort of three seasons or something like that. It's a long time.
A week or two ago, Marcus, you said that you thought the City were a shoe-in for the title.
League, yeah.
And I thought that was premature. But the thing is, when you watch that, it's impossible to not get carried away, if you know what I mean? That, in a way, that's a testament to the performance.
Well, it's almost a waste of it, isn't it? Like, yeah. If you can't get carried away by that, you're watching the wrong sport.
You've got no business watching football.
Quite,
yeah, exactly.
Completely, yeah. I think that... but when I said that, I actually wanted to say that a couple of weeks previously, and I thought, I'll sit on my hands for a bit. I thought, I've got to get it out.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I said this a few weeks ago, however many weeks ago, they should really be looking at Champions League and going very deep in that tournament as well. Because you think about the other sides in the Champions League, Bayern are a little bit in disarray at the moment. They're still Bayern Munich, for crying out loud. Real Madrid are always going to be good.
Had their problems at the start domestically.
Yeah, they have. Barcelona, obviously a great side, but they've not got Neymar. PSG.
They have got Neymar.
They have got Neymar. Okay, so there's always going to be one you've got to be wary of.
When we talked about that on the continent, Andy Brassel was saying that he doesn't really rate PSG that highly defensively. So, you know, every team's got its problems. And Guardiola knows what it takes to win the Champions League, and that is essentially why he's been given the job at City.
Completely.
Well, I say that PSG's defence is excellent. So.
Okay, there you go. So that evens it out.
Evens it out.
PSG.
You're doing a Jose Mourinho making kissy faces at PSG.
Peter Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
Brassel might have a week off, that's all I'm saying.
He is having a week off at one point. Yeah, okay. We'll give him a week off. It's fine.
Yeah, I should say so. Yeah. Guardiola was very clever, wasn't he? Because the side that beat the Monaco, well, we'll take a couple of your best players then. That's fine.
See how you like it now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Then we'll play next season.
And yes, they do have to pay tax.
I love the fact that Man City, there's so much talent on that side. David Silva barely gets a mention these days.
Because he shaved his head.
I know, that was silly.
Yeah,
very silly.
None of us approve of that today here.
No, I don't mind it.
What?
He looks quite hard. And it's weird because it's David Silva.
Have you ever had a skinhead?
I haven't actually. No, have you?
I have, yeah.
Pete has.
I had for most of my 20s, and then people said I couldn't grow hair. Yeah. And I proved them right.
Yeah. You proved them about two-thirds right. Yeah. I had one at university, yeah. So I've been there. Spelsy?
Never.
You've had the same haircut ever since I've known you.
But that's not true at all.
And it's about three haircuts in one.
Yeah, well, all of them would suit ice hockey.
It's greedy scenes.
Greedy scenes. You said I had a Scott Parker do once, remember?
Oh, yeah, you did, because you combed it over, yeah.
That would have been one of the three, though, presumably.
Yeah. Well, when you say one of the three, it's basically, it's my hair, it gets shorter or longer.
Spelsy.
Yes.
Greedy scenes.
Greedy scenes.
You look like a Spanish exchange student, let's leave it at that.
That's not bad, student.
I was going to say, I'll take that all day long.
He's in his late 30s.
Thank you very much. Late 30s? What's happening here? Blimey. Should we talk about Man United? We're going to have to,
couple of minutes.
When we've enjoyed Man City there, let's bring it right back down to earth. Mourinho's Man United.
Let me just make this statement from the off,
please.
Okay? Jose Mourinho doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about you. And he doesn't care about me.
Luke just pointed at three footballs at himself. Yeah. He hates football.
If you listen at home, he doesn't fucking care about you either. Yeah. All right? Because poor old Sky Sports, not often you say that, is it? The amount of build-up. They started this build-up last Thursday.
They've been mugged off.
It's not just Sky Sports. It's BeIN Sports and all the rest of them.
Everyone.
Andy Gray, Richard Keys.
Yeah, spare
all about to get up for that.
Spare a thought for some of the expats. Save all or British immigrants, as they should be.
Jose Mourinho doesn't care that Anfield Liverpool opened up Anfield for people to do a build-up show with YouTubers. That's the level of build-up we're talking about here. I'm talking about YouTubers.
This was at least that FA Cup final, was it 1996 with the white suits? At least Cantona scored.
At least
there was a goal.
At least start with it.
All these companies have framed this as entertainment. Yeah. That's what I feel sorry for. It's like if EastEnders did an episode which was just Danny Dyer washing up for half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd still be better, actually, because Danny Dyer would be in
this,
it.
This got the Premier League weekend off and not running.
This fixture next year should be on Sky Sports Boredom. That's what it should be on. Not Sky Sports main event.
No.
Sky Sports Action.
I would take it off the air. I would say 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. We can't trust you.
Yeah.
That's 2-0-0.
We're not even putting cameras in the ground. So what you should do is have a court artist.
Yeah.
So if there is a good goal, get a court artist to draw it.
Trusted. Why do they always draw them a bit wonk?
I think they might. It might be. Is it rights? Is it rights?
Is it rights on people's faces?
Image rights.
Yeah, but when they're drawing people like Rolf Harris, we know what Rolf Harris looks like. You draw him properly.
Yeah, but
is it maybe that
draw him as a little kangaroo if you have to?
You didn't need to draw those thorns on his head.
I mean, if that's your job, maybe you're just not the best artist.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
Well, it's a good point, actually.
There's actually a court artist that we got in on the radio station that I used to work for, and there is a court artist drawing of me with a skinhead. So there you go.
So they always use chalk as well. They always use sort of chalk.
Why did they do a court drawing of you? Just in case you went in, you went, I've got one. I've got my hand in about already.
Got to celebrate the first week of the show.
So
that lasted about a year.
Yeah. You know, therapy's after this.
Same studio.
So Mourinho just doesn't care, does he?
No,
he doesn't
clearly.
Care. He just does not care. I'll take a point. That's going to help me towards hopefully winning the league. That's all I care
and
about.
And it equaled Manchester United's best start to the Premier League. He didn't win it, but again,
the great thing about Mourinho is that we were sort of. I mean, I won't forget this for next year now. Actually, the return fixture. No, it probably won't be the same at Old Trafford. But this fixture, if Mourinho's still managing next year, I'm not going to forget this.
No,
I made a mental note of it because I was seduced into thinking this might be quite good because Liverpool can't stop scoring and Man United have actually been quite good in terms of goals.
Man United
have
been very good this season.
Yeah, so. Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, well, he was waiting for them to sort of change and open up to the counter-attack by bringing someone else on. Just Mourinho digging at Klopp like it's their fault.
Exactly. I love the fact that he was almost like, oh, I mean, yeah, I was waiting. You know, I didn't want this to happen.
Yes, you did.
Unreal, isn't it?
Put the gun down. Well, just admit it.
Seriously, though, I mean, it was very unambitious from United, as we all saw, while we could stay awake through it. And there's going to be tight margins this season, you would think.
Yeah.
I mean, if they approach the bigger games like that, that's surely handing City a huge advantage.
Well, assuming that City can go away and win everywhere. I mean, I guess Mourinho's probably mapped out that if it's away from home against a big team, we'll take a draw.
Mm.
And he's done that a lot of his career, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it was their ninth clean sheet in 10 games.
Mm.
So then, I mean, and he knows how to keep a clean sheet.
What do you think about Louis van Gaal being there?
I love that.
Yeah.
What do you think I thought of that? Wings Friday night as well?
Was he, yeah?
Come on.
He did the whole face slap greeting to Mourinho,
he
didn't
did. Why was Van Gaal in the tunnel?
I don't know, I guess it's
not even working.
He's just a guest of the club, isn't he? Yeah.
Louis van Gaal.
He hasn't found a head.
His pass still works.
Tunnel, underpass. He always pops up where you don't expect him.
If anything, put him in the guest bit.
Little Birdhal goes where he wants.
He does. He certainly seems to.
Let's be honest.
That's all. Sit in the dugout.
No.
He's got the air of a man who would walk into the VIP section and be like, excuse me, I'll just piss off.
Yeah.
Where's the lady with the saxophone? I let off fire extinguisher.
Oh, we have to say, by the way, the game was not really worthy of the name, but there was a fantastic save by David De Gea.
Oh, yeah, with his foot. It was wonderful.
It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, I mean, Lukaku did have a chance as well. I know he was quite poor. That. Jim, you mentioned, as a lot of people did, of course, that Joel Matip kept him quiet before, and his record against the big sides isn't brilliant.
He was very isolated, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, notable. He was, yeah. You'd imagine that he would surely pick up against some of the bigger sides going forward in the season. But that sort of performance, it wasn't geared up for Lukaku. It wasn't a platform, really, for him to go on and score a goal or two.
Well, it is difficult when a game is set up in that way and a striker, whatever his sort of level of quality, is essentially out of it, is isolated. I mean, a great example would be probably World Cup 2010 when England played Germany. Rooney was very, very isolated. Mm. He was miles away from anyone because England didn't know what they were doing. They just could, but I guess with United, they knew what they were doing, but they had no intention of going forward and supporting.
It's weird, isn't it? Mm. It's taking a player like Romelu Lukaku and using him like he's Pisa Crouch and he's trying to scuff a goal in off him. Yeah. It just seems a waste.
I don't really understand Jose's kind of why did he do this? Like, was he just scared of headlines? I don't understand. Like,
because he thinks a point at Anfield is ideal. Mm. That's what he wants. He doesn't want to risk the idea of getting into a sort of you punch me, I punch you scenario, because he might end up losing 3-2 or whatever. Mm. I just think he would prefer to control it as much as he can and just take a point.
Yeah, hammer all beat the teams convincingly that you should be winning.
But he is very, I mean, to be fair to Mourinho, he's very good at that. And he's very skilled at setting a team up like that. But it's almost like...
And that is a skill. That is...
But it gets to the point where you think, well, there's no point playing the game.
Yeah.
Because you're both going to get a point. It's going to be 0-0. Just see you later. Forget about it. Play another game instead.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I feel like Jose Mourinho needs a little bit more self-belief. You know what I mean?
Do you think that Arsenal are as good at doing that as shutting down?
Shutting out our own result.
Yeah.
Louis van Gaal had a little dig at Jose Mourinho, didn't he? He was asked if he felt Mourinho was scheming behind the scenes to oust him from Manchester United, and he said, "Of course. How I have it suspected it," which was a wonderful way. He said, "The way his transfer as a manager to Manchester United went was not elegant at all. That resulted in my sacking. In principle, he is not a bad guy. He can be sympathetic, but he lets himself go out of control too often."
I love
quite
the way
measured
said,
in a way by Van Gaal.
How I have expected it.
Yeah.
it's almost like Shakespearean.
I love the fact he was in the gantry, looking down on everyone.
He goes where he wants. He's like the Phantom of the Opera.
It was great to see him back at Wings, though, wasn't it?
I didn't see it. I didn't know.
They're very protective of people's privacy. So I don't think you really saw it. Did you just see him walk in, walk out?
Go down there?
I know he's got his own plate. No, I wrote about it in the Football Ramble book. He's got his own plate that he signed himself. Plate.
Well, he was pictured with the owner of the restaurant who sent his Bentley to pick up Mr. and Mrs. Van Gaal, apparently.
Yeah. That restaurant is doing bloody well.
Yeah. Oh, dearie me. We are going to talk about Arsenal and some of your correspondence after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I better go to the cash point and get some money, if I've got any money left.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. It's now time for correspondence with that guy, Peter.
It is time for correspondence with me, that person, Peter. Hello.
We've already had one of him, haven't we, Peter?
I know, yeah, just squeezed one out, didn't I? A lot of people pointing out that I said that I don't think anyone from Iceland has ever met anyone from Panama. A lot of people pointing out, but of course, that the Prime Minister of Iceland was mentioned in the Panama Papers.
There so we go.
If nothing else, his money's been there. and that a lot of times ships get registered in Panama, so apparently there's a lot of talk.
It's petty people, isn't it?
It is petty people.
Bitter bastards.
It's all right when it's one or two, but when your whole email box is just filled.
Have you got any other nationalities?
I'm half Welsh. What do you want?
I've got one. I bet someone from Sri Lanka.
Right.
No, actually, not Sri Lanka. I'm going to go something else. I think no one from Papua New Guinea has met anyone from Finland.
There you go. Okay. Prove us wrong, listeners.
Get no, don't there. Email us. Email Luke at thefootballramble.com.
Email Pete.
don't do that. I need going for gloves. hello to Dave Harkin.
Hopefully, preferably between now and the end of the show. Right?
If anyone's listening, help. Dave Harkin says, on the last show, Luke was surprised to hear that David Moyes is only 57. Well, get prepared to be further shocked. Mick McCarthy is only 58.
Okay. I'm pretty sure David Moyes is 54. Though, not
actually,
57.
McCarthy's older than I thought he was.
Well, we all remember from 94, because he was in the squad for 94, wasn't he? Remember,
I'd have thought,
the Irish squad. Was.
David Moyes is 54, not 57. Oh, well, so you've embarrassed yourself there. What's his name?
Dave Harkin.
You've embarrassed yourself there, Dave.
I just Dave.
Oh, he's harking up the wrong tree. Hey.
hello to James. James Moss. I have an absolutely belting story, he says.
Oh, we all like to be our own critic.
that one of my mates told me about Dave Whelan.
Okay.
My friend was working as a steward at the DW a few years ago and was in the staff lounge area before the fans entered the stadium. Somebody had put a radio on which was plugged in by the mains, a key point to make. A few minutes pass when they hear a thudding sound upstairs. The loud thudding continues until a door is sprung open by none other than Dave Whelan. Everyone is silenced by his presence as he walks towards the radio. He pulls the plug out of the wall and turns around and proclaims, "If you want to listen to the radio, buy some fucking batteries," and walked out.
Very
Wow. Everybody stood in silence trying to take in the fact that the owner of a multi-million pound sportswear company and the stadium they are standing in would waste the rubber on his shoes to turn off a radio costing pennies to run. Good story. I mean, what? Not a bad story.
Electricity miser.
I know.
Yeah.
I imported a lovely boombox from Japan and it takes 8 C-sized cells.
Is that what people in the trade call the battery? A cell?
Do they call them cells? Yeah, I think so. C cells, yeah. D cells.
What, are they little round ones like watch batteries?
No. C's like big chunk, you know, big chunk of something.
Just call it a battery then.
Yeah. All right.
A cell.
It's a cell of electricity, isn't it?
You call a computer a machine, don't you, as well?
Rig.
Rig.
Get off my rig. Hello to Dan Simpson. Ramblefoss Hall. We've not had one of those for a while, but I'm putting it in anyway.
Dan Simpson, okay. Long-term listener.
My highlight of the weekend has to be a radio interview with Craigie Bruin on the semi-vacant Scotland manager position. True to form, Craigie got a nice fence post wedge between his buttocks as he rattled off, "Well, Ali McCoist is a fantastic manager.
Name
Alex McLeish. Alex McLeish would be a top choice too. Malky Mackay would be a brilliant pick. They couldn't go wrong picking Paul Lambert either." In about 30 seconds, Craig managed to list every manager from Gretna to John O'Groats as his favourite for the
game.
And
then he finished by saying, "Where's Marcus?"
It's a little. One of the men you just mentioned there, I'm not going to say which one, because I want to preserve his dignity. Mm. I was doing a show on the radio standing next to an ex-pro pundit who got a text from one of those men.
Right.
I won't name the pundit or the man.
Right.
Saying, "Could you please mention me a lot on the show today? Because I'm looking for a job." So it does happen.
Really?
It does happen.
Love that. Okay. Hang on a minute. I'm going to text you that.
Okay. Why not? Yeah, why not?
I mean,
it wasn't Mackay, though, was it?
No, he just said he wasn't going to name him.
No, it wasn't Malky Mackay. Do you want a couple of
Doesn't
of
he have previous on texts?
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Just reading. Okay.
Yeah, good. He's not allowed a phone anymore.
Those rumours were all falsies.
Yeah. Oh, he has a very aggressive autocorrect.
Yeah. Do you want a couple of Facebook comments?
Yeah, all right. Give us some.
Got a couple of good ones here. This one's from Michael Willoughby, who is a friend of the Ramble, a long-term contributor. He says, "My highlight of the week was hearing the eye-watering news that Fortuna Dusseldorf goalkeeper Raphael Wolf helped his side claim a 2-0 victory over Armenia Bielefeld, I think that's pronounced, by taking a direct hit in the family duels to prevent an effort from finding the net.
Oh.
After the game, he told reporters, 'You always save with your balls, but this one I saved with my penis. I never experienced such a free kick. First, the pain was hellish, but after some ice and rest, it was okay.'"
Maybe you should get a call up for a demand shaft.
There we go. And this is a good one, Pete, and this is one sort of directed at you, but I'm sure everyone can enjoy it.
I didn't do it.
Okay, we'll just move on.
You've got your court picture ready, though, just in case.
Yeah, right.
I was in Hamburg over the weekend on the Reeperbahn, but I didn't do it.
You were in Germany.
This is from Russell Kidd, Pete.
Okay.
He says, "My highlight of the week came yesterday as I was sat in front of Super Sunday, but wasn't related to what was happening on my screen. Mm. It was what was happening on the radio.
Right.
Oh. My highlight was not only hearing Absolute Radio's Pete Donaldson and talking about Hamburg Spice Museum,
and then there you go.
But he then followed it up by reading out many spice-based puns. Both a lovely way to spend.
Hang a bell.
In my defence, I'd had 3 hours sleep, and what? I needed the content, so I. Leaned
so you turned
on,
to the
leaned,
thing you hate the most.
I leaned on listeners to come up with puns.
Both a lovely way to spend this Sunday afternoon, says Russell, and yet a crippling indictment of what Pete has become in 2017. He finishes by saying, "Funnily enough, there's plenty more in reserve for the preview show, next week's radio, or any occasion."
Nice. Yeah, somebody did come up with a special occasion, which I quite
like. Sounds like the hunted has become the hunter. Or the punter.
I'm Blade Runner.
Mm. Poacher turned gamekeeper, Pete
Donaldson.
How
do you feel about puns now?
When in the right space and
if you've
time,
had enough sleep.
If I've had less than four hours sleep, I will entertain such a thing.
You activate the pun button.
And the pun button. Break glass for puns. Mm.
Yeah. Break open the parachute. Go on,
Thanks.
No punishment there. Watford beat Arsenal 2-1, didn't they?
They did.
Another... Deeney sticking the boot in, Jim. Oh,
typical.
I don't think this is even the first time Troy Deeney's done that to Arsenal.
I can't believe he's done this.
I can't believe Dean's done this.
It was frustrating. Arsenal dominated possession. They should have been out of sight. They let them back into the game. They lost it in the last minute.
It wasn't just Deeney as well. Tom Cleverley said, "You smell a little bit of blood. I felt we were on the front foot and I gambled a bit for the goal. If you were a bit more wary of a team, then maybe I wouldn't have done." So they're all lining up.
Everyone's having
opposition
a pop.
Are telling Wenger what he needs to do.
In January, what Wenger needs to do is sign Gary Medel just for one game to put him on Troy Deeney.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous, isn't it? Like, well, it's not though, is it? That's the problem. That's the issue. I mean,
Troy Deeney
loves
that
to set up against Arsenal now.
Troy Deeney loves that part of the game though. Mm. He's very, very good at that. And I think he even said it himself. Like, you know, I know that you're going to be more skillful than me, and you're going to take up. Probably more intelligent.
He said, "I'm the equaliser."
Yeah,
which I quite like.
I actually thought he was a touch harsher himself because I think Troy Deeney's actually got a little bit of technique and skill about him. But yes, I get the point. And he was oddly being sort of quite humble in. Well, he wasn't bragging. He was just being honest, and he was dead right. You know, he came on and he said against Mertesacker, who's I don't know how many inches tall.
6 foot six. Yeah. So let's presume loads.
And it was the same old bloody story.
I mean, if you take it back to after the Chelsea game, where I myself was saying, as I've said so many times, when Arsenal really sort of commit and they give everything to a performance, it's a lot better, and they're much harder to break down. But they simply don't do it in every game. I think we all predicted this would happen at the time, and it has just happened again. And you just wonder how that stops. Wenger's always saying every season at some point, he'll say it this season as well, you know, the team that wins the league is the team that shows the most consistency. And that is the thing that he cannot instill.
Completely. And
well, that bit is consistent.
Yeah, he's consistent.
Being underwhelming against slightly poorer teams.
And he's right, it wasn't a penalty. And if that penalty hadn't been given, then Arsenal may well have won 1-0. But
there's still
the
a
point.
Game to finish
exactly.
out.
Exactly. If the penalty was given in the 96th minute or something like that, when you've got no time to recuperate and go again, but it wasn't, it was about 75 minutes. There's still 15 minutes left. You know, you can have setbacks. So if Arsenal then it goes to 1-1 and Watford suddenly get the wind up their sails and the crowd are a little bit more raucous, they need to think, oh, hang on a minute, lads. Right, Let's shut them up now. Let's stamp our authority because we're a better side. We've proved this so far. Then they should have been out of sight. You know, if Iwobi scores, it's a touch unlucky. Good save by the keeper. If Ozil scores, 2-0, and the game's probably gone. But it's the same old bloody story. Well,
I think Watford deserve a lot of credit.
They do.
Because they've looked very good. They had that one sort of aberration against City, which, you know, can happen. We've seen what happened with them.
That's the game.
Other than that, they look very impressive. I tell you, it was a big night, a big Sunday afternoon for Brendan Doherty, our man in the hot seat. Predicted a Watford win, and he got one.
Just about, but he got it.
Well, I said I thought Arsenal would win, but yeah, I said it with a little bit of trepidation in my voice. And you said to me, Mark, I said, you're not sure about that? You're never sure. As an Arsenal supporter, you are never sure. Maybe Sutton United and Lincoln last season. I was like, you know what? I think we'll probably have this.
Jim, but did you have any, when you were watching the game, sort of trepidation
snacks.
When you saw tell us what the snacks you had.
Did you go salted or sugary snacks?
Well, you know,
salted
like
first
to mix it up. Yeah, absolutely. Savoury first.
Were you worried about the situation when Welbeck went off?
Well, it's one of those things where, because obviously this is leading into Ozil, wasn't it, and how Ozil affects the game. I have to say
I'm not going to ask about Ozil again, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, well, it's when that shape changes. I mean, Watford actually, they changed in response, didn't they? They took a defender off so they'd have an extra man to put that pressure on. And I have to say, yeah, because you hear all these stats about Ozil. He's had the most amount of this, that and the other since he arrived in the Premier League. But, you know, the narrative there of him missing a shot and then not running enough to try and win the ball back and Watford going up the other end and getting something out of it. It's just absolutely typical and absolutely classic.
He's a supremely talented footballer, Ozil. And we've seen him when he played at Real Madrid under Jose Mourinho. We know what Mourinho's like. It's not always the prettiest, but they can play good football sometimes. He was much more functional. Ozil's got it in him. Clearly, as we said before, Wenger doesn't stick a rocket up his players' bottoms, does he? He doesn't, you know, this is time and time again. People are saying, bit more commitment, bit more grit. You know, in the week that we hear about Jamal Lascelles instilling a fighting spirit among Newcastle players.
Literally.
Which it resulted in an actual fight.
And poor old take Mordiame's head off.
Poor old John Joe Shelby getting a broken finger in the melee.
Yeah.
You know.
We can mention that in a minute. I just wanted to make an observation about Ozil. I still wasn't going to ask you about him, Jim. I'm just going to make a quick observation. This is a player who's asking for God knows how many hundreds of thousands of pounds a week. Apparently one of the most talented players in the world. He's won the World Cup and all this. He's not being picked for this game. He's not a player you're going to call upon in this game. So what you're saying is, oh, you know what? I like the idea that Alex Iwobi, who's, 21 years old and has got a handful of games, relatively speaking, under his belt, he's a better option for me than that player who wants this amount of money a week and who apparently is one of the best players in the world. It does really scream that he's either not the right fit for the club, or Marcus says the manager's not getting the best out of him, or he just doesn't want to be there.
Well, it might even be a combination of all of those things, because I think the thing that characterises Arsenal at the moment, and I mean this from the fans to the board, is disharmony. There's inconsistency at every facet of it, so it makes no real... It's not surprising that the club are, you know, sort of a little disjointed on the pitch. I think the thing with Ozil at the moment is his form isn't great, and as I said, I've never known a player like this, where the stats sort of you know, seem so great, but then people's opinions of what they see seem so different. He's not in great form now, but the amount of assists he creates and the amount of chances he creates, you do have to get that from somewhere else. So Arsenal they're a little less creative, you know, in the first half than you would normally expect them to be. But if he's not in form, then it's a moot point.
Indeed. Yeah. They need a little bit more fighting spirit. Not as much fighting spirit as Andy Carroll. That's too much.
Yeah. On the scale, that's too much.
I mean, once it's too much, isn't it?
But as Carl Gibson said on the Facebook page this week, my highlight of the weekend was big Andy Carroll upping the game by trying to get Halloween instead of Christmas off.
Yeah, nice one. Yeah. And you know he'd enjoy Halloween more.
I'd much
Christmas.
Prefer Halloween. Yeah, I'm going to do that instead.
Big Sam said the game's quite soft. Which is why Andy Carroll suffers.
As a sort of semi-serious point, no, in fact, it is quite an actually serious point, is that you and I, Marcus, were talking before we came on about how Ryan Mason's recovering and an Indonesian player who sadly lost his life through a head injury or whatever injury it may have been. You cannot throw yourself around chucking elbows into people's heads and expect not to be punished for that, because player safety is the most important thing, and that's the referee's number one responsibility. So everyone who says, oh, you know, the game's gone, it's for the softies now, people are impacting each other at very, very high speed, and they're much stronger and quicker than they've ever been, these players. So you have to protect people, and Andy Carroll should have known that. And there's plenty of ways of showing aggression and being competitive without resorting to that type of stuff.
And it's not hard to be aggressive and imposing when you're a long man.
Yeah, he is a long man.
Well, even Bilic said, I can hold my hands up.
Bilic was annoyed at the time, though. I think he must have watched it back or something.
Who's he annoyed with, though? He could be annoyed
with Carroll.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is more than understandable. But yeah, Peter, what did you make of the Newcastle training ground bust up?
I thought it was good. Well, you know, I
thought it was good.
I think it can be good.
Modiame, as I think I said on Twitter a few weeks ago, his full name is Modiame's off the pace again. Yeah. He is a man who does not look like he works very hard on the football field when he comes in. Always looks off the pace, always looks disinterested. But when he plays some good football.
What about Lascelles, though? I mean, there was a great piece on him, I think, in The Independent, talking about him in getting that fighting spirit going when he was digging out players when he was only 22 and they were still in the previous
he earned the captaincy by showing Rafa in his last few games that his teammates' performances weren't strong enough. And if you're, you know, Moussa Sissoko, a player like that, getting told off by a 21-year-old, however old he was.
He's now 23.
A man who's earning like ridiculous amounts of money, just telling, you know, being told by a child effectively to buck his ideas up. He's earned this captaincy, and I think I feared for him in the Premier League because I thought he was a great captain and a fairly responsible, organised defender in the Championship. I did worry that his qualities weren't strong enough for the Premier League. Rafa's preparation defensively for matches is so good. And it was seconds before Lejeune piled into the back of one of the ballers and gave away the penalty. That was about a tweet that I've never seen a more drilled Newcastle defender than like since Jonathan Woodgate, where he's actually getting drilled by the knee surgeon. Like just like there was a joke in there somewhere, but I've never seen a more organised Newcastle defence. And I'm going to put a bit of a complaint in there. They were a little bit more clinical up top, if they'd spent a bit more in the summer up top, we'd have a really, really good spine.
Let me just caveat this, because I see what you're saying. Newcastle are good defensively, and it's looking like it's going in the right direction. But Peter, it's the hope that kills you.
But how often have you said that Newcastle look good at the back?
Never. Against Southampton, there was two aberrations. Lejeune gave away the penalty, which he didn't need to do. That was silly.
He's just come back off injury, so he looked off the pitch.
And would he play if everyone was fit?
No, he wouldn't.
So there we go. Yeah, and then the goal that Gabbiadini scored, which wasn't the penalty, that was quite defensively poor. Other than that, it looked really organised. Mm. And Shelvey again was the best player on the pitch.
Well, I think sometimes he dropped passes that he didn't need to. But if you do seven amazing passes and miss three,
my sort of problem with Shelvey, as I said last week, was just a question mark over his temperament when the pressure's really on at the very highest level. But all the build up to the game at the weekend seemed to be people who know much more about Shelvey and his mindset than I do, saying that he's actually really matured a lot over the last 6 to 9 months, and that they don't fear for that side of his game anymore, and that he's not as tempestuous and not as childish
apart from the red card on the opening day.
Well, that is obviously an aberration. But what I'm trying to get at is, you know, the opportunity is there for him to play in midfield for England. The opportunity has never been easier for him.
You're coming around to it, aren't you?
Well, I wouldn't pick him personally at this point, but I'm just saying there's an opportunity.
It's something to aim at, isn't it? If you're a player like that.
Tell you what, Lascelles, Shelvey?
Is it time to get Lascelles off to Pep Guardiola?
You've got to get all the Man City players in there as well.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Get Lascelles into Guardiola. He's got the temperament.
He can replace
Otamendi. Exactly. World Cup winning England captain of the future.
All of them. City could do the thing that West Ham did in 66, say we won the World Cup.
Get all of them on the plane. Every single one of them. Let's go to the Championship, gentlemen.
Yeah. Ooh.
There was a Midlands derby. Wolves beat Aston Villa 2-0. Wolves have got themselves in marvellous shape.
Mm. Two Midlands derbies.
Very good. So, of course. Top of the league. Jota's a good player, isn't he?
Yeah.
The old influence of Nuno and George Mendes getting these types of players to Wolves. But my goodness, they are looking good, dare I say, for promotion.
How do you feel about...
top of the league, so they currently are looking good for promotion.
How do you feel about Neil Warnock's Cardiff being knocked off the top?
Well, Warnock's Cardiff, it's quite funny. They obviously lost 1-0 to... ex-Portsmouth manager Steve Cottrell's Birmingham City.
Weirdly, doesn't narrow it down, does it?
It was a surprising result.
It was a surprising result.
I think you've got to give a bit of credit to Harry Redknapp.
Yeah,
for the work that he's put in.
All right, yeah.
Warnock said after the game, and because they lost the match, Wolves go top of the league. Cardiff are not on the top anymore, and Cardiff, I mean, still going well. They're second, bearing in mind Mick McCarthy's Ipswich have dropped quite far down since the last time we were speaking about them. But Warnock said after the match, "I won't let anybody get carried away. Not even our fans. I don't mind them dreaming, but not getting carried away. A couple of months ago, when they were top of the league, our fans are getting carried away because they haven't seen this for a while. So let them enjoy. I'm going to." You lose to a Cottrell side, your tune changes all
it's
of a sudden.
Mixed messages. I watched the East Midlands derby. That was a great game. It's a much better game than the majority of the Premier League games I saw.
Vidra's opening goal.
You said the pace was very interesting.
The tempo was amazing. Yeah, well, Derby scored in 22 seconds.
Mm.
They basically got the ball.
Yeah, that was quick.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's hard to get quicker than that.
That is the very essence of pace.
And then it was an interesting game as Forest had their chances. Derby were the better team and deserved to win. I think Gary Rout's got quite a good record in those fixtures.
They've got three in a row, I think.
Forest hate Derby. Like, they do. I know, you know, Derby's Derby's, but they hate them.
It's a proper Derby.
And you get the Brian Clough Trophy for winning it.
I think you do. Yeah. I think you do. Pete, you want to talk about Bolton Wanderers, don't you?
Yeah, of course I do, mate.
They went nearly 13 hours of football without a goal. But it wasn't 13 hours because Sammy Amiobi, he got them on the score sheet, didn't he?
We're having fun.
Sammy Amiobi.
We're having fun down there.
Is that a good thing?
Don't say it like I don't know who he is. Well,
I thought you might be a little bit more enthusiastic. You still
I've got my shirt off, mate.
I can imagine in your world, though, that this is a sort of portent of doom if an Amiobi does something good somewhere else.
Well, didn't both of them score?
They did.
I think Shola scored for Notts County
as well.
That's why we've had this dust storm.
Yeah.
What's Tommy doing?
Nothing to do with the hurricane.
What's Tommy Amiobi doing? What's Tommy Amiobi doing?
Yeah, you see. The Amiobis
are still in the MLS or not? Can someone let me know? I don't know. I've not Wikipedia'd him for a little while.
He plays for FC Edmonton, apparently.
Right. Back in business.
He plays for FC Edmonton. He's been there for a few years. He's got 19 league goals and 87 games.
Right.
That's about the Amiobi ratio.
But all nine of them came on the weekend, though.
Yeah. he's also, I think he's quite old as well, Tommy. You expect him to be young.
A few years old, yeah.
No, he's like 28 or something.
Yeah, then...
Amiobi's 36. Because he celebrated his 36th birthday last week.
Well, he wants to go into coaching, and I think he goes up and coaches
Newcastle. Yeah, we spoke about this, I think.
Yeah.
He's a good man. He's next Newcastle manager after Rafa.
Indeed, yeah. That way you can actually...
With respect to Amiobi, that would be a step down from Newcastle.
Yeah. Staying in the northeast of England, Sunderland, they drew 1-1, meaning they've still not won a home game in 2017, Peter.
Well...
Oh, you tried to be humble there, but you there.
Couldn't. I was talking to Steve Watson at Gateshead, I don't know. what can you say?
Have you got any sort of choice insults for the people of Sunderland today?
I think
they've suffered enough.
They've suffered enough. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back after this.
It was like the parting of the Red Sea. People just went, whoop.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Before we go any further, it was, of course, a weekend packed full of action in mainland Europe. Some amazing scenes in Serie A, quite frankly. We will, of course, be covering that with the On the Continent gang on Wednesday, as usual. Search On the Continent wherever you get your pods, and remember to subscribe.
Oh, it's a gang, is it? You can't be in the Bloods and the Crips, Marcus. Well, you choose, mate.
If you want to tune into the preview show gang, which is, of course, us.
The Munch Bunch.
You're in there. The Munch Bunch.
that'll be on Friday morning. We've got the same better because, of course, he got Watford right to
His
win.
His best bet with Bet365 came in, as I mentioned earlier. Brendan Doherty, Man United fan in Northumberland, is how he describes himself.
Is that right?
Well, he's got a bet under his belt now.
Yeah.
He's looking for another one on Thursday, so we'll wait and see what he comes up with.
He could be the first one to get an ORE.
And to be fair to Brendan, I mean, he's taking his balls out the bath there. It's a 4-1 shot. Watford to beat Arsenal is a big bet.
Do you leave your balls in the bath?
It depends how I'm feeling. He's run very well there, and he's raised £250 for Prostate Cancer UK, so not to be
sniffed
at.
Fantastic work.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we'll see what he comes up with later in the week.
Don't sniff Declan's balls.
It's called Brendan.
Brendan.
Speaking Declan. Of balls.
Don't sniff his either.
Just leave the ball sniffing out.
A generic Irish name.
Yeah. Speaking of flesh, ex-Celtic manager Ronnie Dyla is known for some unusual antics. For example, when his Strom Godset side avoided relegation in 2009, he was dancing in front of the fans in just his boxer shorts. He led Celtic to, I think it was, two league titles not that long ago. But he never got them playing like old Brendan Rodgers did.
No way. Well, he wasn't a breath of fresh air, was
certainly
he?
Not. He's currently the manager of Vålerenga in Norway, his native Norway. Now, they needed a win against Brann recently, so old Ron decided to strip naked in front of his players during a team meeting before the match to help relax them.
Relax.
I mean, this is Louis van Gaal stuff, but more so. I mean, at least van Gaal, I think he just produced them. You know, he unzipped trousers and there they were. Didn't see belly, nipples and
the
bottom.
Rest of it, yeah.
Whereas old Ronnie got it all out, and he said that the players, he wanted to bear all in front of them and not be worried. He wanted the players not to be worried of making fools of themselves on the pitch. And he said, a lot of people have probably seen me nude already.
Me too, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Probably.
But he warned Peter, I cannot do it every time. Then it loses its surprise effect. They won the game. It was an important one.
Willies are very funny.
Here's a great fact about Ronnie Dyla. During his playing career, he played for a Norwegian club just called Odd. Yeah. Oh. ODD.
Oh, the perfect man to play for them.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, indeed. And before we go to Going for Glory, a quick update on Swiss club FC Sion president Christian Constantine. Last week, the Swiss Football League Disciplinary Committee gave him a 14-month nationwide stadium ban. Constantine responded by saying, "It makes me laugh. If they want a war, they'll have a war. We'll see you standing at the end.
Makes me laugh.
This is interfering." Yeah. And before we go to Going for Glory, finally, Marcus, you'll be pleased to know that the one British pound equals 1.12 euro at the moment.
Yeah,
so that's the value of the pound.
It went up by about 0.4%, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, same time next week, value of the pound update with Marcus Feller.
Right, Peter, it's time for Going for Glow.
It's time for Going for Glow. Let's get started, shall we? Basically, what happens every week, I give a load of clues pertaining to a mystery footballer, and you guys have to stop me when you've heard enough. When they're going for Going for Glow. Here's your first clue, guys. You ready?
I'm possibly on a bit of a roll because I got Efren Okoku last week.
It's a good one.
Sounds like a wonderful euphemism for a great weekend.
That was a horrible situation.
Okoku, mate.
It was a horrible situation because I knew it, but I'd already used my guess. Yes. So I had to wait. Mm-hmm. But luckily, I was able to seal it.
And Marcus's face dropped.
It didn't drop. I love the fact that he got it.
Who submitted
like,
this one?
Like a pie. This is from Wayne. I nearly used the name of the footballer. That would have been clever.
I presume it's not your own work. So
don't be rude. Thank you. Wayne Walker. A great name.
Not a real name, is it?
What do you mean? Yeah,
it's not.
His Wayne email address is walker at something.
Don't! Hey!
What?
Give his phone number out.
Right, let's go. Let's get stuck in.
Right. I was born in Rome, 22nd of August, 1991.
Oh, Rome. Stop.
Go on, get it.
Fabio Barini.
Not Fabio
Barini. You thought it might be.
I made 10 appearances for Italy's under-21s. I scored 4 goals, but nothing yet for the senior team.
Stop. No, that's not me right.
Stop. Gabbiadini.
Not Gabbiadini, no.
Say which one you mean.
Marco.
Gabbiadini. I began at Lazio's youth academy.
Ooh. 91 he was born. 91.
Yeah.
Okay. It's too recent this.
Too recent. Yeah.
He's still playing now, obviously.
Mm. I am a Premier League winner.
Ooh.
Saucepans.
Premier League winner, eh?
Mm. Ooh.
Well, I tell you what, that should narrow it right down.
Stop. No, that's not the right
person.
No,
do it, Jim. Just go with it. Jim never goes.
No.
You guys spit bars.
It's not true.
Jim got the first.
I thought the wrong person. No.
All right, it's all right.
I know it's wrong.
It's the wrong trousers, Gromit. In 166 professional appearances across 9 clubs, I've scored 34 goals. According to Wikipedia, this strike rate may well have increased by Monday, he says.
Okay.
Oh, hang about.
Because I was going to go stop Mario Balotelli, but it's not. He's got more goals than that.
Incorrect.
Yeah.
Can you repeat that one, Pete?
In 166 professional appearances across 9 clubs, I've scored 34 goals.
So he's basically in his mid to late 20s and he's only played 134 games.
Damn. I'm apparently a striker.
Jeez.
Jeez. Oh, jeez.
Oh, we're.
And he's won the Premier League.
That was one of the clues, correct.
He's got a Premier League winner's medal. This is crazy.
Oh, hang on.
I have played
Stop.
For...
Giuseppe Rossi.
No.
Oh, good guess, good guess. Enjoyed that.
He'd be a bit older, I think.
He would be a bit older.
And he scored more goals than that, I think.
I don't know.
I think he's knocking them in, yeah.
I had a pop at Clayton Blackmore last week, and apparently he's got loads of international caps for Wales. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, that was
That's
naughty
a big
of
gap
you.
In my knowledge, though.
Don't worry.
He's a tall guy, isn't he, Clayton Blackmore, if I remember rightly?
I told you, it's a gap in my knowledge. I know nothing about
He didn't remember his Wales caps, let alone how tall
I have played for Manchester United, Sampdoria, QPR, Stuttgart, Doncaster, Birmingham, Cardiff, Nottingham Forest and Navarra.
Federico Makeda.
Federico Macchia!
Yeah! Well played, Jack. Well played.
On a hat trick.
Oh, cool.
Fair play. I'm in my Premier League debut against Aston Villa on 15th.
I remember he scored that goal.
I will be forever known for this debut, scoring the winning goal after coming off on for
a lovely finish. He got the ball back to goal. He turned to his left and sort of clipped it into the left far corner.
Thank you, Wayne Walker.
That might be the
Thanks, Wayne.
Great Premier League false dawn, that goal.
Yeah. What, because he didn't...
Well, it was on his debut, wasn't it? And it was phenomenal.
Wayne Rooney's winner against Arsenal for everything.
Yeah. To be fair to Makeda, he's made it onto the ramble going for Glow section. Yep. It's not bad, is it?
He's in there.
I'm on a hat-trick, boys.
You are.
Mm.
There we go.
Have I had a hat-trick this season?
No. Almost certainly not.
Yeah, let's just assume I have.
No.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. That is the end of the Football Ramble this week. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And with you, because it was a correspondence
heavy ramble, which is very much appreciated and encouraged.
It's show at thefootballramble.com.
It's been Roy the Boy's week, really, hasn't it?
Roy the Boy rides
it's
again.
It's been his weekend. How can he build on that?
Roy the Rovers.
I don't know, but he will.
He certainly will. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Every day I'm shuffling.
It's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.